Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. I feel like the Lord's given me a little thought to give you today. I want to start with the 23rd chapter of Matthew. In the 23rd verse, it says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So I really don't want to necessarily dissect the idea of judgment and mercy and faith, but rather thinking about the fact that there is weightier matters, and then there is matters that obviously aren't as weighty that still ought to be done. I remember several years ago hearing a study that they had done. They said if they, on the highways, if they put a police car, if a trooper in a police car would just simply sit beside the road, they watched and said that the majority of the people that come and saw the police car would tap their brakes even if they wasn't speeding. It was simply the first reaction to being in that situation. Probably us that drove a lot know exactly what that feels like. And a lot of times we are speeding. We're going to, and the reaction is to see that. So they thought a little bit farther, because you have to pay a police officer to sit around in places. They thought, well, what if we just put a car there? If they just put a police car there, the reaction is the same. They went a little bit farther and said, what if we just put a billboard? A billboard with a car, a police car. And when people look and see the car, they would hit the brakes. As a reaction, what I'm saying is that we are affected by what we see, and we're affected, and we will immediately have an effect of the things that are around us, and the things that we see will have an effect, and many times we'll form an opinion about those kind of things, and it's obvious that it's that way, and it's all the way around us. We have a lot of different ideas of that we can obviously look and see certain things, and it will immediately register to us that means something to somebody. If I'm going along and I see a Donald Trump bumper sticker on somebody's car, I could probably very accurately assume, other than the fact that there's practical jokes and those kind of things, assume that the person that put that on there was a supporter of Donald Trump. It would be ridiculous to think that they wasn't. So I immediately, by what I'm seeing, I'm affected to think a certain thing about them. If I look and see somebody wearing a West Virginia University Mountaineers shirt, I would probably assume that they was a fan of the Mountaineers. I wouldn't assume that they was a Kentucky Wildcat fan if they was wearing a Mountaineer. You would immediately look and say, and draw conclusions that even conclude that you, or even recognize that you're actually doing that, but it does mean something. When I look and see somebody with a National Rifle Association hat, I'm usually thinking they're a backer of the Second Amendment. Without thinking deeply, these things, we're naturally affected by all the things that we see around us. And so I do it from great things to small, and you do too. And so Jesus was dealing with something similar to this. He says to these scribes and Pharisees, there was things that you do. And you can widen this out, but there's things that you do. You pay tithe of the things that you do. You go to a great extent to be religious. And people, it is important. It is important. God, it's important to God. Jesus said you shouldn't left it undone. I never understood some of the fads and stuff that's been in the world. I just don't stand them. They don't make sense to me. One of the most ridiculous fad of our world was the midriff thing. Several years ago, there was a big fad for people to show their midriffs. Hey, listen, just honestly, without being too detailed here, if you got a nice six-pack, they call it, I mean, your abs are to all that, yeah, you want to be proud, that's one thing. But to show a big lopping over belly with an inner tube, I don't understand the fad, but I do automatically look and think that they somehow in their mind are relating something to the idea of having a nice... It doesn't make sense. I don't understand the whole britches thing, bagging down until you can't walk. It doesn't make sense. But you know, that's all suggestive. The whole rebellious turn your hat around, it doesn't mean as much everywhere, but it does in some places. It means something that you have a certain thing like that. You know, it does mean something to look godly. You can't say that it doesn't. It does. It does mean something. And it's obvious. It's obvious. We have people on a regular basis come up and approach us and say, where did you go to church at? Why? Because we obviously are saying that we do, even though we don't say it. We're obviously living that way. And Jesus says you ought to do it. But you know, it's not everything in life. It's not the weightier thing. Jesus said, of those things you ought to have done. But there's things that's so much weightier than that. And if it's all we do is get hung up on the image of it and never really get the reality of it. You ought to do those things, but you know, in a lot of ways, and y'all follow me this because you know where I'm at here. You ought to do them, but you know there is a room for convictions, and there's leeways for here's and there's, and there's leeway. You know that there is. Honestly, we ought to do those things. We ought to look and say, what is the best way I can represent God? I can represent Christ. What is the best way to say that I believe in holiness and righteousness? I want those things promoted. If I can be a billboard or suggest to other people that there's value in these things, I want to do it. But you know, you really lose something. And I've told this story before, but this is what I'm, my point. One time, Linda and I was in the Walmart in Elkins one day, and we was going along, and listen, we look like religious people. No, everybody knows we look like religious people as we go with our girls with their long hair and Linda's dress. Everybody knows we're religious. Well, we're going along, and she... I'm ahead of her, and she clips me with the buggy. You ever been clipped with a buggy? Somebody pulls in your goes into your heels with their buggy. Well, she got me with the buggy, and got me with. And hey, listen, I'm just an honest guy here. It hurt, and I turn around like, you know, I felt like the Lord spoke to me like that, and said, "You better be careful. You look holy." That's what come to my mind. You better be careful. You look holy. Well, I looked at, look easy enough. I'm going to obey. I'm going to make that I'm a religious person. But you know, the Lord is saying here, you ought to. But there's weightier matters. There's things that's more important. You know, really the Lord wants us to work more on our love for people. He wants us to have more love for, He wants us to be more true in the inside than it just works to the outside. God wants us to have more, he would rather us have a good attitude than look right. Do you know that? The Lord would rather us have a good attitude towards one another and a disposition of love towards one another than to have all the phylacteries right on our garments. Or to have all of the things that the Pharisees done with their borders and their garments, and they was pious and all that, and the Lord was more interested in you having it right with one another, that you care for one another, that you're compassionate, that we don't have to continually play these games that we play with one another, especially in close relationships, marriage relationships, and family relationships, to where we have these ways of manipulating one another that's not with words. It's with our actions, the way we want to. You know what I'm saying, everybody? And you know what I'm saying. If you've lived very long, you know from the I won't talk to you to get back with you to the little grudges and the little things that we do to manipulate and do one another. You know, the Lord would rather us, there's weightier matters. I be so careful that I don't go out in my pajamas, go out to the post office, okay? I'm more careful than what they look like. But you know, am I that careful with the way I treat, the way I think about people, the mercy that I have, the judgment that I have? Am I willing to just so easily just lay judgment on somebody else? Not understanding where they come from or what they're doing. Am I so easily just to lay a judgment on it? But I wear my clothes right. I have a standard that I hold. I do this. I don't drink this. I don't go here. I don't do that. I can do that. I ought to do it. But it ain't weighty. It isn't that weighty. So Lord help us. Over in... Oh, I want the story of... Let's go ahead and go to Luke. Luke 10. Oh, let's see. I'll pick this up. 25th verse, maybe. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is it written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. Now you notice, that there must have been not been, something must have been not as weighty there. That must have been the full weight of it right there. And obviously a lot of the other things aren't as weighty as this, because this entails the real meat of it all right here. The reasons for it. The reasons that we do the other things that we do is all set here in this. So he says to them, this is what you're to do. And thou hast answered right. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Now, here is a ambiguity now. How can you answer this question? Who's the neighbor? I know you're supposed to respond a certain way to him, but who is it? Who's the neighbor here? What am I going to be responsible to here? This is Jesus' answer, tells a little story. And Jesus answering said, Certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped from him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Here was a priest. This is a man of God. This is someone that has the matters, both weighty and not weighty. This is a man that's supposed to have the fullest care of spiritual things. Now, I would guess this, although I have no way to prove it, but I would guess that the priest would be recognizable if you didn't know him. You would have probably been able to have said, Oh, there goes a priest. Well, how would you have known it? He's got a priest robe on. He got a priest hat on. Whatever the priest does, that's a priest. He looks like a priest. No doubt he was caring for his office. He was caring for the things that he should have cared for. He was supposed to look like a priest, or God wouldn't have instilled it. He was one. He looks like one. He's supposed to do the job of a priest. He's a priest. You need a priest? Here's a priest. If he's going along the road and you said, Hey, somebody get a priest for me. Well, you look around and you say, That guy with his britches hanging half off of him, he ain't a priest. That guy over there with the cigarette hanging in his hand with his shirt half off, that ain't a priest. The guy with the robe on is the priest. He's a priest. Look, he looks like one. Go over to him and say, you're a priest. Yeah, of course I'm a priest. Look, what do you think? I got a priest. He's a priest. We all recognize that as a priest. This guy didn't do what a priest is supposed to do. We all can do that from that. You know, there's more to being a child of God. It's just taking care of things, the exterior things. As a matter of fact, they're not even that weighty, to be honest with you. We should do them because we care to the utmost to see that it's presented that way. But to be honest with you, it isn't that weighty. This priest came by and immediately, the scripture says this for a reason. Why did he walk to the other side? I want to ask you, Simon, why does somebody touch their brakes when they see a car, a police car? Why do they respond? Why do you recognize things around? Why couldn't the man walk right by him? He purposely went to the other side of the road. It's the same reason Pilate washed his hands. He was removing himself from the responsibility that he had. That is not my responsibility. I'm not responsible for everybody around Green Bank. I'm not responsible for you. I'm not responsible. Oh, really? Well, if you want the weight of your matters, you're responsible. You're responsible to care. There's something there that makes us more than a facade, more than a shell, more than... It's the weightier matters. And this guy had an opportunity given him of the Lord. He's walking by there. This happened. He's there to make a difference, to prove that it means something to be a priest. You want to know the honest truth about it? It is ugly for people that look like Christians that don't act like them. It's ugly for that to put on that and then to not really have it is worse than somebody that don't. This was a shame. But he rejects his responsibility by removing himself as far from it as he could and walked on by this place that was given him to really make the difference. And Jesus is answering this question to this man about a neighbor. So he walks on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Here come another one. The tribe of Levi was chosen to minister in the temple. They were chosen to be the ministers of that. That's who they were. They were supposed to be pious, religious people. There was probably a way, I don't know this, there was probably a way that the normal person in society would have looked and said, that's a Levite. Without knowing them, without having a paper that they had to pull out and say, I'm a Levite, here's my certificate of Levite, being a Levite. No. He probably looked at him and said, oh, there's a Levite. He has a certain function. There's a certain functions of the Levite. We had in service not long ago about standards in the different tribes. They had about three, I think there was four different standards of the tribes of Israel. And there was three tribes to the ones and they had standards. And when you looked and saw the standard, you said, that's who they are. It was very easy representation here. You looked and you saw this line on this standard blowing. You'd say, that's Judah. That's Judah because there's his standard. You can see who they are. And no doubt the Levites, you could probably have looked and said, there's a Levite. He's supposed to minister. And he comes up to this place. So here is another human being in need. Means nothing. You know, I fear this more than any of the rest. Am I like this? Is it easier to make the show than to do the reality? But the Levite walked on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, the story is set this way for a reason. There was a reason he said the priest and the Levite, because those were the guys that was absolutely responsible to the man that was doing it. He was a part of the same nation. This guy was assumed to be Jewish. He was assumed that these were the people that would care for him. It was assumed that they should have done the duties, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And then it comes along a Samaritan that was hated by the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans knew it. This man that's laying beside the road hates the guy that's walking by. There is no love between these guys. This guy does not love. The Jews did not love. They despised the Samaritans. And along comes the Samaritan, and here's a guy that despises them. Not a brother. This is not a brother. But somebody that actually doesn't like them normally. But now, what an opportunity. I ask this question. Do you think that this guy hated this Samaritan after this was all said and done? He'd have been a pretty poor person if he had done it by then. But along comes the Samaritan, and now here's all these guys that had the show, the looks, they took care of these not so weighty matters. Now the weighty matter comes, and here comes the Samaritan by. And the Samaritan came where he was, and he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring oil in and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said to him, "Take care of him. And whatsoever thou hast spent more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go, and do thou likewise." So here the Lord had bundled up into part of this great commandment of loving the Lord with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving thy neighbor as thyself. It has an illustration of someone that actually performed this weighty matter and said, "Go and do likewise." He didn't say nothing about the other things that you ought to do. We know we ought to do those things. But these are the things you shouldn't leave undone. You know, I'd rather you not talk about me, but I'm not assuming anybody has. But I'd rather you not talk about me behind my back or lie about me than dress right. I'd rather have a compassionate right. Oh, you ought to do the other. We ought to do those things. No doubt about it. But to do those things and not have the weightier matters to being done is so fraudulent. It's such a hypocrisy. We ought to attend to the weightier matters of the law. That we make sure that why we do what we do is because we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not that we're just trying to show an image or trying to do, or holding on to something that we've lost, but that we love the Lord with all of our heart. That's why we do what we do. That we really, how often it has been that we've seen someone that suggests holiness, the value of holiness in their outward life, that we find out later has such perversions. That's not holding the weightier. Lord, help us to have the weightier. Hold the weightier matters in our lives. The most of the weightier matters to me, it comes down into a nutshell. How do I treat my fellow man? For me to assume such great mercy of God for me, and not extend that great mercy to you. God's been real merciful to me. For me not to extend that same mercy to you is not attending to the weightier matters. Another scripture I want to look at is in the 25th of Matthew. Oh, let's see. 31st verse starts, "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon His throne of His glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the goats on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him and say, him saying, Lord, when sawest we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. How can I show the Lord that I love him? Well, yesterday was my wedding anniversary, so made this big card for Linda, wrote all these little mushy I love yous and all that. Got her a couple things and that, because I love my wife. And I can show her. But it wouldn't do much good for me to set a card over on the stand that I love you, Jesus, and put a couple little gifts there. That don't work. You know, I could have went and got her some fish tackle and some fish baits. But come in real handy for me, but she don't fish. It's kind of what it's like the way we want to do something for the Lord. Oh, do something for the Lord, ends up doing something for yourself. What's doing, Jesus says right here, is what's doing, you do it to the least of these, my brother? You done it to me. They didn't even know they was doing it, obviously. They said, when did we do it? And the fact that you loved him and gave to him, you done it to the least, you done it to me. I accept that to me. Thank you for doing that for me. You done it to me when you done it to them. The Lord appreciated it. One scripture says that something about, how does it say it? Given to the poor is lending to the Lord. That's the way he looks at it. He accepts that. It's part of the weightier, folks, it's part of the weightier matters. For me to take another step up the rung for God isn't for me to try to see how much stricter I can get on my dress or my... No. You want another rung on the ladder? Find out how much more the weightier matters that you can have active in your life. How much more can I encourage somebody, inspire somebody? How much more can I reach out and touch somebody? How much more, Lord, can I do love somebody else and give them something valuable in their life? How much more can I make a difference to them? Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, oh wait a minute, let's see that. Yeah, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they say, also answer and say unto him, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto the one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. Oh, I know how the thinking works. It's like the Pharisees said of the prophets. They said, when Jesus said, you're the sons of those that killed the prophets, he said, oh, if we'd have been in the day of the prophets, we would have never killed them. If I'd have been in the day of Jesus, I would have crucified him. If I'd have been there with him, if I'd have been there with them, Hebrews, when they crossed that Red Sea, I wouldn't have murmured against Moses. Not me. Well, if I'd have saw that, I'd have had a lot of faith. All the rest of the nation didn't, but I would have. I wouldn't have done that to them. If I'd have saw you, Lord, I'd have ministered to you. And the Lord said, you had your chance. The same heart that would do it to the least is the heart that would do it for me. You didn't do it to the least of these. Though you had the opportunity and the chances and all those things, those are the weightier matters. Sure, we ought to do the other matters. It's absolutely necessary that we do them, but not leaving the weightier things undone. We should attend more to the weightier matters than to the other things. We ought to make sure. These other ones, folks, they fluctuate. If I may say this without you let me have this liberty, because I'm not going to take the time to make an argument on it. But over the time of history, a lot of these things fluctuates with our culture. They do. A lot of these things that they fluctuate to some degree or another with the culture and things around us. The weightier matters have never fluctuated. They are the eternal part. The other things fluctuate with what is the best way to accomplish it. It isn't it. It's the best way to accomplish it. This is the things that never ever change. It is never right to not be merciful. It's never right to hold grudges. It's never right to have bad attitudes. It's never right for these things. It's never right to see a man beside the road and walk to the other side. It's never right. The others may fluctuate here and there, but these won't fluctuate. They are the weightier matters. We'll look at another scripture in St. John. No, I'm sorry. I think it's probably 1 John. First John 3. I'll read a little bit of it. 13th verse. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that you have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And he knoweth that no murder shall he hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and see his brother hath need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? There's a question to get and hold on to. How dwelleth the love of God in him? You can hardly say that about the less weightier matters, but you can say it about this. How could someone that would look and see, that would have the ability to help, and see that the need was there, and shut up his mouth, and not help, and not do it, how dwells the love of God in him? It's a question. How could we say that the love of God dwells in him? You know, there's other scriptures in the Bible where Jesus was astounded by the religious people of the day. Jesus comes and heals a guy on the Sabbath day. Put yourself in the position, was this man lame or blind? Slip me. But whatever. Put yourself into the situation of a blind or a lame man. And you get healed. Isn't that special? I mean, what would you think if you were the one that needed that help? You were the one that was blind all your life. You were the one that couldn't get up because you was lame. You was the one that needed the help. The Lord healed them. They healed the guy, and they looked and criticized the Lord for that goodness. Criticized him for it. Because of this thing they had. This idea, this religious thing, their ability to be righteous and pious was all on this idea of they had this element, this thing, this hold on to is who I am. And we, part of it was this absolute adherence to this notion of nothing on the Sabbath day. Oh, they recognized that you'd pull a beast out of the ditch and all these things. But now it was so righteous to this. So righteous to it. That they didn't even have the proper compassion on the man that had need. So stuck, so strict, so there that they did not see it. To the point that they criticized the Son of God. They criticized the one that had the power. They didn't have the power to do it. So the best they could do was criticize the one that did it. In some kind of act of religious ceremony, they responded to what Jesus had done in that kind of a way. Rather than saying, thank God. Thank God for what He's done. Lord, help me. Lord, help me to get it right here. Help me to see this for what it really is. That I really have it. Listen, I know you all know, I am not in any way trying to diminish or to say that there isn't a standard, because there absolutely is. I am trying to say that the standard doesn't stand by itself. It's worthless. It is worthless to suggest that this standard is saying that we are a righteous, holy people that believe and care and have all this stuff when we don't have it. It is a false standard if you don't have the weightier things. And this is the weightier notion of it is that as I look around me and see those that are in need and the problems of people's lives, even spiritual needs and people that are down and out, that I don't just drive along the road and look at a drunk and condemn them to nothingness or to worthlessness, but I look in the pity of God at it, at that situation. Is there anything that I can do to change that kind of a place? Perhaps I'm the guy that I'm supposed to be the guy that is there to help. Who's to say? But how can you suppose to have the love of God if you shut up your bowels of compassion? Because it isn't just having this earth's goods, but it's also having the spiritual goods to be able to help somebody else with, to be able to show them compassion and love. And many times in the scriptures, you'll notice that the Pharisees and the scribes, they had in them this idea of this legalistic, rigid idea of life. But they didn't. They should have done those things, but they shouldn't have undone the other. And one of my favorite characters in the scriptures is Nicodemus. And it was because Nicodemus was one of them. He was a part of the higher-ups, part of the Sanhedrin. He was a man high up in that. He was a wealthy man. He was all of those things. And yet, he could not let it undone. There was something that the Lord proved to him. There was something honest about Nicodemus. He snuck in at night, but at least he snuck in at night. I mean, he did not want the contradiction between him and his peers. He didn't want to have to deal with what they thought and deal with all that probably. He come and snuck in tonight to the Lord, and his expression is, I love his expression is, because he surrenders immediately from before the Lord. He surrenders his argument point. You know, in a good debate, you would never give in. You would always hold the cards. You wouldn't want to give in. And Nicodemus comes in and says right off to Jesus, he surrenders and says, we know you're of God. You know, you can't argue with a guy. You just said, we know you're of God. You just took away any points that you're going to try to do. You can't go back and say, now Moses said, and you're wrong. You just said that he was of God, okay? Nicodemus come in and said, we know you're of God because nobody can do these miracles. So basically, I'm surrendering any kind of, what are you going to tell me? Yeah, that's the way we need to be too. Lord, I surrender to your will. Help me to be able to say, where do I stand on this? Where am I? I could be the kind of person that would say, as Paul dealt with those that didn't eat meat, well, now you shouldn't eat meat. You shouldn't even touch anything. They fall out with an idol. You shouldn't even know that. But Paul comes along and says, there ain't no such thing as other gods. There's only one. That meat that they burn on that altar to that sacrifice is just meat. Good to give thanks to God for and eat. Oh, That's what Paul said. You don't have to be so stuck into that No, it's something God made that you can give thanks for. He said, I wouldn't defile my brother. I wouldn't hurt my brother. Till, as long as the world stand, I'd eat no meat if it's going to offend him away from Christ. I wouldn't do it. But I know the truth. You know, Lord help us. Lord help us to get a better understanding of truth about in our lives where I ought to stand. You know what I like to say to people when they ask me about things? You ask the Lord about it. Guy come to me one time in the Walmart. I never knew him, never seen him before, never seen him after. Come up and told me, he said, you go to church. I wasn't even with Melinda either. I mean, he just saw me. He said, you go to church. I want to ask you something. Okay. He said, I just got saved last week. He said, do you think I'm modest? That's what he said. He said, do you think I'm modest? I think I should be modest. You think I'm modest? You know what I told him? Oh, I could have detailed it. Hey, if you're going to ask me, I'll tell you. You know what I could have told him? You know what I told him? The Lord wants to be the one to tell you stuff. I'm going to tell you, you let the Lord lead you. That's a safe place. I am to dictate it. You let the Lord, so it'll be real to you. If I tell you one thing, I can tell you another. If you think you want to follow me, I'll tell you one thing, tell you another. You can jump around here and there, no. Let the Lord tell you and convict you. Then you'll know. Then you'll have a place to stand on. Lord, we all need to know. Lord, what do you want me to do? And I tell you what I'm sure the Lord would do with him. I'm absolutely sure that the Lord would want him to be modest and would deal with him about it. But he wouldn't deal with him that before he'd deal with him about weightier matters. You think he just wanted to be somebody that was him and not have... there? If there was... the Lord would deal with him. No, Marty can only see the outward, so I deal with the outward and leave the... I don't know how to deal with them other things. The Lord would want to deal with that thing from the inside out. You can be modest dressing and not be modest on the inside. God would want you to be inside out. And that's what the Lord wanted to do. And all through the idea of the Scriptures, and like I say about Nicodemus, he come to the Lord and with a true heart, and if you'll follow the whole path of Nicodemus, the Lord was there, talked to him, dealt with him, told him things that he could not understand, and even you, I think it's incredible to think that the most popular scripture and profound scripture in the Bible, most easily quoted, that God so loved the world, Jesus said that to Nicodemus. Looking right at him. You don't know they said Jesus, that there was no man spake like this. I wonder what kind of a dagger must have went through his heart to have the Son of God, Jesus right there looking you in the eye and say that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right to Nicodemus. Made a difference. Nicodemus didn't sneak around all of his life. When Nicodemus come and took the body of Jesus with the other man, Joseph, he didn't do it behind the scenes. He come and done it outwardly. He become a disciple of the Lord. Lord, help us today to be able to follow and ask the Lord in our hearts to help us to pursue the weightier matters. I think we ought to take care of all of them, but that we would pursue the weightier matters that we do have in our hearts, that we do love the Lord with all of our hearts and everything flow from that. You pray for me.